WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, April 3rd, 2017. So glad you've allowed us to begin your busy work week right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM. Well, today's Current Sports, we've got a loaded show as we will recap the sporting weekend, a busy one here locally and beyond the Michigan State Spring Game. That was interesting, folks, I must say. It was a beautiful afternoon in mid-Michigan. Sun shining, birds chirping. There was a track meet going on right next to Spartan Stadium. Great atmosphere. And I must say, a lot of you came out for that spring game. I think it exceeded a lot of expectations. So we'll talk about the spring game. We'll dive into the X's and O's of the game. And we will talk about what Mark D'Antonio, head coach of the Michigan State football program, had to say in the post-game press conference. And there were many noticeable absences, which many people are drawing lines to. I'll explain in just a moment. Tonight is the McKnight out in Phoenix, Arizona. The national championship game between Gonzaga and North Carolina. Two numero uno seeds making it all the way to the Big Dance. We will recap the Final Four weekend, and we will preview tonight's Natty championship game with the one and only Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio down in Atlanta. He is out in AZ and has been all weekend covering the NCAA tournament. And on the back end of the show, get this, the Detroit Tigers open up the year. How exciting is that, right? How exciting is that? Against the Chicago White Sox. Looking forward to that game. We actually have our very own Brad Walker. Don't tell anybody. Well, I guess I already am broadcasting it over the airwaves, right? That's like the ultimate form of telling everyone. But Brad Walker, he is a Chicago White Sox fan. He is walking around right now with his Shy Sox jersey on as we speak. We'll preview the Detroit Tigers season. Also, not good news with Detroit Tigers fans as the Tigers will open up the home opener tomorrow, seeing as though rain is in the forecast. Yeah, that's not good. Anyway, we'll talk some Tigers, and we will, of course, on the back end of the show, like we do each and every Monday here on our airwaves, we will have weekend winners for you. Who exactly had the best sporting weekend? You don't want to miss that. If you want to be a part of the chatter here on our airwaves, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also join the conversation via social media at facebook.com/currentsports or even tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin, WKAR. Let's start this party like we always do. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. And we start with the Michigan State football spring game. As fans got their first taste of football over the weekend, the Spartans held the annual spring game on Saturday afternoon, one that featured the offense going against the defense. Bit of a change in format this year. While the scoring system was rather confusing, the defense came out on top nonetheless by a final score of 33-23. An estimated 25,000 fans were counted. They showed up to Spartan Stadium to get a first look at the 2017 team, which is approximately half of what MSU drew a year ago, a record-setting crowd last year at Spartan Stadium. Redshirt sophomore Brian Lewerke took the bulk of the snaps at quarterback for Michigan State as Damian Terry and Messiah DeWeaver did not play in the game due to injury. Receiver Tristan Jackson, he was the player that impressed the most that afternoon, 8 catches for 168 yards, including one sick one-handed catch on the right sidelines that had a lot of oohs and ahs at the stadium. True freshie corner Josiah Scott, notched 8 tackles and an INT playing opposite of Vyonte Copeland. A total of 15 players did not dress for the green and white, which included LJ Scott and Donnie Corley. We will have more on the spring game in just a moment. In other football news, Michigan State announced it will open the 2018 season by hosting Utah State at Spartan Stadium. How about that? Now, Utah State will receive $1.4 million from Michigan State University for traveling to East Lansing, according to FBSchedules.com. The announcement means that Michigan State's 2018 schedule is finalized. Following the Utah State game on September 1st, MSU will travel to Tempe to play Arizona State as part of a home-and-home series with the Sun Devils. Michigan State will have a bye week following that trip to Arizona, and then it's right on to the Big Ten play as the Indiana Hoosiers will play host to Michigan State on September 22nd. Again, that is the following MSU football year. Again, more on MSU football in just a moment. Michigan State baseball suffered a tough weekend on the diamond as the team was swept at home by the Golden Gophers of Minnesota. The three losses moves their losing streak to 4 games and puts the Spartans at 15-9 overall, 3-3 in the Big Ten Conference. MSU lost a pair of one-run games on Saturday before falling 9-4 on Sunday to the Gophers, who have won their last 9 games on a roll. MSU softball, on the other hand, swept their home series against Maryland over the weekend. The Spartans allowed 5 runs on their way to 3 conference victories and improved their season record to 19-11. Great start to the year for Jackie Joseph and company. The Michigan women's basketball team won its first ever postseason title over the weekend, winning the WNIT over Georgia Tech on Saturday. It took not one, not two, but get it, 3 overtimes. The Wolverines finally prevailed by a score of 89-79 in a game that took place at Callahan Hall in the D. That's right, Detroit, Michigan, folks. Caitlin Flaherty led U of M with 27 points on her way to being named the tournament's MVP. Center Haley Thome was right behind her with 25 points as she was named to the all-tournament team. And keeping it in the wheelhouse of women's college hoops, the women's NCAA tourney came to a conclusion on Sunday. And UConn, of course, did not win at all. South Carolina was the last team standing as they defeated Mississippi State, a team that knocked off UConn in the Final Four. The final score last night, 67-55. It was the first time in 5 years that a team not named UConn won the championship. How about that, right? Stunning. Stunning. Morgan Williams, what a shot. It actually marked the 3rd meeting between South Carolina and Mississippi State this season, with the Gamecocks claiming victory in all 3. All right, the men's tourney will wrap up tonight as North Carolina and Gonzaga face off for the national championship in Glendale, Arizona. It will be a 9:20 p.m. tip time for those of us here in Michigan, so make sure you have that coffee ready in the morning if you plan on staying up for this one. I'm actually sipping coffee right now. It's like my Gatorade, folks. It's an intriguing matchup of 1 seeds as Gonzaga looks to win their first national championship in basketball. In fact, the school's only other athletic championship came in 1950 when they were named co-champions in the sport of, get it, boxing. Are you kidding me? That's when boxing was in college athletics, folks. On the other side, North Carolina will look to get redemption after the heartbreaking buzzer beater to Villanova in last year's national championship. The Tar Heels have endured their fair share of drama already this tourney and will look to win their 6th championship in program history. More on North Carolina and Gonzaga in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. Baseball is back. The Detroit Tigers scheduled to open the season today in Chicago against the White Sox, but the weather might have a say in that. Detroit and Chicago are set to begin at 4:05 p.m., but weather forecasts are showing that the game might be postponed due to the rain. If they do get the game in, Justin Verlander is slated to get his 9th opening day start for the Tigers. Left-hander Jose Quintana will start opposite of JV, as the Tigers will trot out of a lineup that features 9 right-handed hitters. And again, Detroit Tigers are set to open up the season at home tomorrow. But yeah, rain is also in that forecast. The Detroit Red Wings have just 3 games remaining at the historic Joe Louis Arena. How about that? And one of those will take place tonight against the Ottawa Senators. The Wings are a perfect 2-0 versus the Sens this year, as Peter Mrazek will be in net tonight to try and make it 3-0. The Wings' top prospect, Evgeny Slichenov, is, I probably just butchered that name, Isaac. You want to take a stab at that? Take a stab at that name.
Svechnikov?
Svechnikov. Yeah. Okay, you cheated.
I did cheat. Jonathan helped me out.
Yeah, JT's behind the glass, but I had no idea. I just said, hey, let me just
I would not have guessed better without Jonathan, in fairness.
I'm sure. Svechnikov is expected to make his NHL debut tonight. He was drafted in the first round of the 2015 draft and has been garnering some extra attention in the AHL over the last few weeks. Head coach Jeff Blashill said he will start out in a line with Dylan Larkin and Justin Abdelkader. And La Lumiere, how about this? Home to MSU basketball commit Jaren Jackson Jr. and MSU target Brian Bowen was named champions for boys high school basketball over the weekend after a week in which they beat 3 top 25 teams at the Dick's Sporting Goods High School Nationals. La Lumiere moved into the number one spot in the national rankings. Jackson finished with 17 points in the championship game, while Bowen added 15.7 rebounds. MSU Hoops will have at least one proven winner joining the team next year and could have two if Bowen chooses MSU over schools like Arizona and Creighton. Also want to note that Jordan Poole will be taking his talents to the University of Michigan. He also had a great game. I actually caught the majority of that game before taking off on Saturday to check out the Michigan State spring game. A lot of talent on that La Lumiere team. Fun game as well. Fun game. All right. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, again, you know that number. You got it on speed dial. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. So much to get to, so little time. Let's start the show.
Tipped away in your mind.
God is all things. He's all things. I give him the glory. This does not happen without him. Blessing our program, blessing our players, and putting his hand on our program all year long. I got to go all the way back to my temple days. Those are the guys that really believed in our vision. And we took that vision to South Carolina. And that vision was, we will be national champions if you stick with us, if you're disciplined, if you believe, okay, if you're willing to work hard. And all of these players believed in that. And I'm just so happy that our words are coming true today. So I'm extremely happy for our tree of coaches and our tree of players. But these guys were the ones that got it done.
Make me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do. Make me do for love what I would not do.
Yes, the smooth sounds of Bobby Caldwell to begin this afternoon's Current Sports. Happy Monday, ladies and gents, boys and girls. Welcome to the show. We've got a ton to talk about on today's show. I'm going to try my best. Try is the key word here, to fit it all in 60 minutes. And I had to start the show by, of course, tipping my cap to Dawn Staley and her unbelievable South Carolina women's basketball team. What a game it was last night. South Carolina pulling out the dub over Mississippi State, 67-55. Mississippi State, a team that upset, one of the biggest upsets in sports history, snapping the 111-game win streak of Gino Auriemma and his UConn Huskies. Morgan William with that incredible buzzer beater. What a shot that was. What a shot. And, you know, what I love, probably my favorite quote from after that game, was when the announcers and journalists there, they asked Morgan what she was thinking in that moment as that ball left her fingertips. What did she see? Was the question. And Morgan said this. She said, "I saw opportunity." Love that. Crowd went crazy. Everyone's stunned. And now the UConn win streak starts all over again. But UConn has to feel a bit sick right now, seeing as though the team that beat them, Mississippi State, ended up not even winning the national championship. They lost to South Carolina. An emotional moment for South Carolina. Asia Wilson led the team with 23 points. She was in tears right after the game. She actually didn't even make her way to the handshake line after the buzzer sounded. She was just sitting on the sideline with the towel over her head, tears are flowing. And, you know, you look at Dawn Staley. I mean, her athletic career in the world of basketball is incredible. I remember actually growing up watching Dawn Staley as a player on the hardwood. I mean, she was so good back in the day. So good. From Philly, 5'6 guard who was just tough. You know, as a player, she was actually named as one of the WNBA's top 15 players of all time when that ceremony took place back in 2011. She's a 6-time WNBA All-Star from 01 to 06. I remember watching her in middle school. 2-time ABO All-Star back in 97 and 98. 2-time Atlantic 10 Coach of the Year. I mean, she's not only done it on the hardwood as a player, but she's got some hardware now as a coach as well. And you can't get any bigger than a national championship right now. She has a national championship to her name. And what amazes me about this South Carolina team is that they're so young. They will return that same squad, ideally, next season. No one's leaving. This isn't like, and that's the dynamic that you play when you compare women's college basketball to that of the men's. I mean, usually there aren't many aerial powers out there where, you know, they leave early and decide to take their talents to the WNBA. It, you know, there's not nearly as much money in the WNBA as there is in comparison to the NBA. So you don't see a lot of players in college basketball in the women's realm really leaving like that. So this team is going to bring back Asia Wilson and company. And they are going to try to make a hefty run at this thing next season. What a moment, though. That's always fun to see. And, of course, you know, my favorite story of the whole tourney has been, well, I should say was now, Mississippi State and Morgan William. You know, she was great. Hats off to Itty Bitty. That's her nickname. She just had 8 points last night, though, sat the majority of that second half. And the press asked her about it yesterday, and she just was pretty honest and candid in her answer, saying that I didn't bring enough energy. I needed to be on that bench. I just wasn't bringing it. I wasn't there. Just 8 points for her, 4 assists. That pales in comparison to what she did to get the Bulldogs to that moment, getting that game winner over UConn. Just insane. But a great year by Mississippi State, and congratulations to South Carolina. Now, flipping the switch to the men's, we're going to preview this game tonight. The national championship, again, it will take place around 9 o'clock for those here in Michigan. North Carolina and Gonzaga. We have 2-1 seeds that will be taking the hardwood in the big dance. And in just a moment, we will invite Deshaun Tate to the show. Deshaun has been out in Arizona covering the Final Four, and he will be there tonight covering the national championship for CBS Radio. Producer, host, and reporter for college basketball for CBS Radio. Deshaun will join us in about 10 minutes or so here. But I want to acknowledge the spring game, because I know there were a lot of Spartan fans in the house to witness that spring game on Saturday afternoon, a 3 p.m. kickoff. Cool atmosphere, I must say. It was a great day for it. You know, about 55 degrees, sun shining. I mean, you couldn't have asked for a better day for spring football. And I thought overall the way that game went, atmosphere-wise, you know, the logistics on the field, I thought it went as best as you could have hoped for. When you take in consideration that this team is, this program certainly has a cloud over its head due to the sexual assault investigation. There was an estimated, I saw this on the website, it was an estimated 25,000 in attendance. And I don't know. I think, Isaac, you were there. Engineer Isaac Constance, I want to bring him in on this conversation as well, because Isaac helped shoot our footage from the coverage on Saturday's spring game. And you know, it's cool because this is the second year I've done this, Isaac. You shot the first half on the sidelines. Last year I did the same thing because, one, I kind of just like seeing it from – seeing the sports we cover from a fan's perspective sometime. And I did it last year. Last year was my first time doing this, but I sit in the stands during the spring game. And I just sit there alone, crowd next to me, and I like to hear the conversations that the crowd has concerning the team. And I sat in the crowd the entire game. I wanted to hear, especially this year, because there's so much chatter around this program when you take in consideration the investigation is taking place.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wanted to see what fans were saying. I'm going to get to two moments that I want to bring up. But overall for you, were you shocked at the attendance? Were you shocked? Were you expecting more people? Or did it exceed your expectations attendance-wise?
I'd say I'm not going to put a number on it, but that was almost exactly what I expected. I didn't expect to see it like last year where MSU made this big hurrah about it and wanted all the fans to come out, show out, make sure that the program was well represented for being on national TV and all of that. This year, you expected it to be down, not only because of course, the sexual assault investigation around the program, but you're coming off a 3-9 year. It's plain and simple, there are not too many positives that a fan could have had going into this game. So, I mean, in many ways, I think the 25,000, whatever the number that was quoted is, I think that's accurate. I also think it was a good turnout from fans. It's kind of what I expected. People are excited to get back into the mood for football and all of that. But at the same time, no, I mean, it's not the same as in years past for multiple reasons. And that's fair for all sides of the coin.
Yeah, I think it exceeded my expectations, actually.
Really?
I thought
okay.
There would be a little less, to be honest. But, I mean, and as the game went along, you know, fans decided to chuck the deuces up and peace out as that game went along. I mean, it was a beautiful day. And, you know, you look at it, to kind of put it in perspective, most of the lower bowl was there, you know, especially when it comes to the sideline view.
Yeah, the south end zone was empty.
The south end zone was completely empty.
They just blocked that off.
Yeah, they blocked that off. The north end zone had a lot of pockets in it. So, I mean, there was nobody in the very upper tier, of course, in the balcony is what I call it. But it was a good atmosphere. You saw a lot of fans come out, you know, with their families. You saw a lot of kids there enjoying things. And also, you know, I also want to acknowledge the program had 1,100 youth in attendance for the youth clinic earlier that morning. And I saw footage from that courtesy of MSU Athletics. And a lot of kids just had a great time at the Duffy Doherty building just, you know, living out a dream. You know, getting a chance to meet some of the MSU football players and go through drills and very cool stuff. You guys have not seen the footage of that. Check it out, because I thought that may have been the best part of the day, to be honest with you. When it comes to, again, this game, I went on record to say that I don't see what you gain by holding a spring game with everything that's taking place right now away from the football field, this sexual assault investigation. Because now, as I stated, fans do know, you know, the crowd just became very slim here when it comes to fans guessing as to which players are possibly involved with this sexual assault investigation. 15 players did not dress and did not play this Saturday due to suspensions, injuries, who knows what, right? But we do know 3 out of those 15 are involved in this sexual assault investigation. And much to my surprise, I didn't hear a lot of fans talking about that. Maybe they did. Maybe they just whispered it. But when I was sitting next to fans, they were just sitting there enjoying the game for the most part. When it comes to the game itself, as I stated in the headliners, Tristan Jackson, he turned a lot of heads. He was probably the standout from that spring game. 8 passes for 168 yards. Had a great one-handed catch near the left sideline in the second half. We actually have footage of that. If you want to catch our post-game report from the spring game, just simply visit Facebook.com/currentsports right now. But a great one-handed catch. I mean, Tristan Jackson, you kept hearing his name left and right throughout that game. Looking forward to seeing what this sophomore wide receiver can do in 2017. Brian Lewerke, I think, established himself as the clear number one quarterback. Now, again, I want to say that by also reiterating the fact that Messiah DeWeaver and Damian Terry did not play because both are injured. Speaking of injury, Brian Lewerke is coming off a broken leg from last season. He was 25 of 44 for 305 yards, a touchdown, threw 2 picks. Footwork looked great. He was able to show accuracy when throwing the deep ball. He was able from time to time to fit the ball through tight windows. I was impressed from what I saw from Brian Lewerke. If Terry and DeWeaver have anything better, I have to see those two kids play. I really do, because I thought overall Brian Lewerke looked very poised. Now, again, he's only a sophomore here, so we have to temper these expectations. And again, take it with a grain of salt, because this is a spring game. We're talking about April here. You know, it's spring. We still got some months until that early September game against Bowling Green. But I thought Brian Lewerke showed great mechanics, if anything, on Saturday afternoon. And heck, remember, this is a QB that Coach D'Antonio called, quote, the guy to beat out, end quote, after 4 appearances last season. So it shouldn't be a surprise to many here. Looking forward to seeing if Lewerke in the practices leading up to that very first game in early September, September 2nd, I believe, against Bowling Green. Looking forward to seeing if Lewerke really establishes himself as the clear number one. Don't know how serious those injuries are to Terry or DeWeaver. And, you know, Damian Terry underwent offseason knee surgery. Messiah DeWeaver, we don't really know what his injury is. Josiah Scott, the freshman cornerback, he had 8 tackles and an interception. Had a pass breakup, actually, on the final play of that spring game. Denny Willekes, really cool story here, because Willekes was a walk-on linebacker last season, folks. A walk-on. I love seeing walk-ons win. He actually tied Scott with 8 tackles in that spring game. You know, the spring game is catered to guys like Willekes. If you're a walk-on or you're low on the totem pole, given that opportunity in front of the crowd, in front of a stage like that, to show what you can do, that's when you have to take advantage of it. I think Willekes turned a few heads on that Michigan State coaching staff, including head coach Mark D'Antonio. Sophomore defensive end, looking forward to seeing where Willekes fits in the Michigan State football equation next season. Joe Bocci, the true sophomore linebacker. Bocci, he lined up as the current starting middle linebacker. How about that? He was thrusted into that role, if you remember, last year as a true freshman due to Riley Bulla getting ejected early at Maryland. I thought Bocci held it down. held it down. He looked like he was knew what he was doing. I mean, he was reading his assignments quite well. I mean, there were a few mishaps here and there, but I think overall, Joe Bocci showed that he has the potential for a high ceiling. And L.J. Scott Jr., running back, I want to address L.J. because he did not play in that game on Saturday. A lot of fans were looking forward to seeing him suit up and play. However, he had off-season surgery. This is when things get a bit confusing here, though, because L.J. Scott had off-season surgery. Coach D'Antonio said afterwards that L.J. Scott did not play because he is still recovering from that surgery. However, he told the Associated Press, I assume Larry Lage, who was in the building, that he was not injured nor suspended. So who knows? I'm a bit confused there. There's some conflicting statements there from Coach D'Antonio and L.J. Scott. Don't really know what's going on there. But I really wanted to see L.J. Scott play, and a lot of Spartan fans were looking forward to that as well. But again, folks, it's spring football. You know, I don't know if we can draw any hard conclusions here, Isaac. I mean, yeah, there were some standouts here and there. Brian Lewerke's mechanics looked good. Tristan Jackson was fantastic, but it is very hard. I do this every time around this time of the year when MSU hosts a spring game. It's very hard to draw hardcore conclusions based on a spring game. Heck, we were holding rave reviews for certain players in last year's spring game, and we all know how that season turned out. So we just don't know. But there were a few encouraging things to look at if you look at the game from a tempered point of view, I guess you can say.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to look at it. I think whenever it comes to spring games, we all, including myself, need to distort our lens going into it because it's going to be boring. You and I were saying throughout that game, boy, you always get so excited for these things. The return of football, inevitably, they let you down every single year. It's something where it's just like, oh, when's this going to end?
Yeah.
But the thing is, you take away a few conclusions, but this is what these guys do day in, day out. It doesn't really matter to them. It's simulating a game-like atmosphere. It's not really that much of a game-like atmosphere. But you look at a few guys, you like what you see. Tristan Jackson, obviously, number one. And you take it with a grain of salt.
For sure. And I want to play a bite from Coach D'Antonio in just a moment here. But, yeah, to piggyback off your comment, Isaac, concerning the crowd, I mean, I was at one point, there was a group of fraternity members who were sitting in front of me in the stands, and they were sitting there, and they were pretty excited as the game began. You know, they were kind of amped up, but like probably late in the second quarter, they were sitting there, and they looked at each other and said, "Man, it's a nice day, dude. We should go back to the house and down a few beers. You down?" They said, "Yeah, I'm not trying to sit and watch this whole thing." Quote, "I am not trying to sit here and watch this whole thing," end quote. So, yeah, it's a catch-22 for sure. Can we play the bite from D'Antonio, though? Because he was asked by Larry Lage concerning the 15 players who were absent, not suited up for that game yesterday. And here is what Coach D'Antonio had to say.
"I'm sorry.
15 players were not in uniform.
Okay.
3 were suspended. That's
my
been
math
announced.
Degree out.
Right?
Yeah.
Would you like to provide any clarity on the other 12?
No, because we don't talk about injuries, and obviously we're not talking about any other suspensions. Time marches on. This is a big program, and it's a serious situation and all that, but we need to move forward, and our players deserve it, and our fans deserve it. So there was a lot of there's always a lot of excitement and anticipation when you go out there in the spring for everybody involved. So it's something that's always needed because I think there's more on the table when you play in front of people. So that's why we play it. You know, I'm going to coach our guys hard. I'm going to insist upon excellence, the best of our ability, and have fun with our football team. And I love our guys, and I always, coach to that level. So, one thing's over here, the other thing's over here. That's what I do. But I can't say that we're always going to address everything that we see as a fault of ours, and we're going to critique it, and we're going to try and change it and move forward."
Mark D'Antonio in a few of his post-game comments after the Michigan State Green and White spring game. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will preview the national championship in the world of men's college basketball. That's right. One shining moment will be played at the conclusion of tonight's game. Oh, boy. Can't believe College Hoops is coming to an end. Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio, joins me in just a moment. Don't go anywhere.
Any thoughts running through your head,
or
what's going through your mind?
I heard you just boxed out. I had two opportunities to do it. I missed both of them. Lost the game because of it.
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. That was the voice of Jordan Bell. Big man for the Oregon Ducks. Of course, the Ducks fell 77-76 at the hands of number one seed North Carolina in the national semifinals on Saturday night. Bell took the blame. Quote, "If I had just boxed out, I had two opportunities. People can tell me whatever they want, but I lost the game for us," end quote. And as you guys saw, for those that tuned into that game on Saturday night, North Carolina shot four free throws in the final 5 seconds of the game, and due to not boxing out, Jordan Bell, yeah, it fell in the hands of North Carolina, and they were able to close the game out easily because of that. But again, young man, keep your head up. That's not the sole reason why Oregon lost that game. If Bell would have boxed out, would it have given the Oregon Ducks a chance to possibly win that game? For sure. And it comes down to the little details, right? And knows when a game is that tight, when a game is that close in the final minutes, heck, moments like that are going to be amplified, probably more than they should, instead of looking at the entire picture, which led up to the game being that close. So I really felt really bad for Jordan Bell, watching him in the locker room, tears streaming down his face as he tried to justify why Oregon lost that game. So Oregon ends up falling by 1.3 seed Oregon, 77-76. North Carolina moves on. And in the game prior to that, Gonzaga topping South Carolina, the 7 seed South Carolina, 1 seed Gonzaga, 77-73, the final of that one out in Arizona. And tonight, yeah, it all concludes. It all comes to a close on CBS at the University of Phoenix Stadium, the North Carolina Tar Heels versus the Gonzaga Bulldogs. Right now we have on the line Deshaun Tate, college basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio out in Atlanta. He has been out in Arizona covering the Final Four in the tournament. Deshaun, how you doing, my man?
Outstanding.
All I heard was outstanding. Is Deshaun still there? I know he's doing outstanding. I heard that, Isaac.
Is he outstanding. Please don't hang up the phone on me, man. The technical difficulties, but it's much warmer than it was the other day when the wind was blowing like crazy. The sun is shining. Cactuses all over the place. Loving the environment. Excited for what should make out to be a very good national championship game later on this evening.
Folks, he rubs it in our face every time. The beautiful weather out in Arizona. I'm jealous. I'm jealous, Deshaun. Well, soak it up because you got at least one more day of it as the national championship will take place tonight. You know, I've got a few interesting angles that I want to attack in just a moment here. But I first want to ask you this, Deshaun. When it comes to North Carolina and Gonzaga both being in this game and heading into this championship game, the Tar Heels are the favorite to win the NCAA championship, according to Vegas. And, you know, you look at this will be the third of Roy Williams, the third national championship, I should say, for Roy Williams during his 14-year tenure with the Tar Heels. You know, that will be one more than Dean Smith managed in 35 seasons as head coach of the Tar Heels. And you know, you look at the flip side of that, Mark Few, right, head coach of Gonzaga. A WCC team hasn't won in 20 years, Deshaun, with Arizona the last team to do so. Gonzaga is a school, I should say, that does not even have a football program. In your estimation, who does this mean more to, Mark Few or Roy Williams?
I'd say Mark Few for sure, because I don't remember the last time we've seen a mid-major team, or I know they don't like to be called mid-major in the West Coast Conference. I think that's reality, although I believe the conference itself is mid-major. I think Gonzaga is more of not necessarily a mid-major, maybe closer to a high major, but not a Power 5 conference. All those things being said, I think it definitely means more, because we've never seen a team of this low of prestige as far as a basketball program win a national championship since it's been quite a while. I can't even think of who that last team was. So definitely it means something for North Carolina, but I get the feel that if Carolina wins the game, it's kind of like it was more expected. I mean, for crying out loud, they beat Gonzaga, you know. So I think it's a little bit more expected, if you will. And it's just going to seem like another championship banner to hang in the Raptors in Chapel Hill. But at the end of the day, you know, they should be given some credit for doing so. Gonzaga is going to be a tough matchup, though. You better believe that Gonzaga is going to come with every single thing that they can, going to throw the whole, you know, the kitchen sink at North Carolina tonight in order to win that national championship. And just looking back at everything that both teams have accomplished all season long, they both had incredible, incredible regular seasons and postseason play. But I'm really excited to kind of a combination of both. Kind of like March Madness, I'm really happy, but it's turning to March Sadness because it's almost over. So as unfortunate as that is, Al, to be honest with you, I like North Carolina here tonight, but I think it means more for Gonzaga.
Yeah, I'm with you on that, Deshaun. And I have to ask this question as well. Deshaun, are you surprised that North Carolina is here? Because this is a team that when you look at the roster, many people believe that out of the starting lineup, just looking at the starting lineup alone, I know Jackson, he is a beast, but a lot of people believe that this is a starting lineup roster for the Tar Heels that probably won't even feature a starting NBA player at the next level. This was also a down year recruiting-wise in comparison to other years for North Carolina. And, oh, yeah, there's that whole academic fraud scandal that has still not to have been settled, I should say. Are you surprised that the Tar Heels, despite that adversity, were able to get to this point?
No, I wouldn't say that I'm surprised. I mean, they are not returning Bryce Johnson, who I think last year showed that he was the heart and soul of that entire team. But the rest of the core guys from the group pretty much had come back. And to be a team that went to a national championship game, it's definitely not a stretch to say that they're getting back. And when you're looking at it, you have to be able to have a legitimate big. We saw that the other night, tying his career high, 25 points, 14 rebounds for Kennedy Meeks. You've also got to have not only that post presence, but you've got to have a guard, so to speak. And we see that in Joe Barry. To me, I think it's a little bit more tougher for me to put Joe Barry in the same conversation as a Ty Lawson, as well as a Raymond Felton, when you're talking about winning a national championship and leading the team at North Carolina to doing so. But, however, what I will say is that it's possible at this point. You know, there's only 40 minutes that's keeping him from being in that same conversation. And maybe, sure, it doesn't have the same kind of star talent or star power that they do usually in other years, but it's not about that. It's not about winning championships on paper. It's about winning championships, what you do on the floor as far as production. And North Carolina is a team that is due for a national championship. It's almost been a whole decade since they won, what is it, 8 years, I believe, which is a pretty long time for a team of high prestige like the North Carolina. And as far as the in regards to what you were talking about, the allegations and whatnot, Roy Williams definitely made sure that he had a little something to say about that in the postgame press conference that I went to the other night, and just kind of talking about how he wouldn't win, the kind of effect that this has had on his team and on the program. He wouldn't wish that on anybody, and the effect that the academic accusation has had on their program, he wouldn't wish that on anyone, and how much has been used against him in terms of other programs being able to steal recruits away. So when you look at it, we're talking about a guy who's who's a little arrogant, you know, and which deservedly so. All the critics, a lot of haters and people that's trying to use the academic fraud against him. I think that he's definitely going to do a lot of sticking his chest out if he's able to get a six national championship for North Carolina.
Well, in response to what Roy had to say, I mean, I have to address that elephant in the room and say, I mean, can you really blame the critics? Because, Deshaun, I mean, you look at what took place, you know, fake African-American history classes that actually, when it came out, Roy Williams, what did Roy do? He immediately told his players to disenroll from those classes. So we had to know something was going on here. And you can't ignore it because it's so in your face. I have to ask you this question. If North Carolina goes on to raise a banner tonight, right? And if they are found, and looking at the investigation, if North Carolina is found guilty of the academic fraud scandal, do you think they should take away that national championship banner?
I mean, yeah, in the event that they're found guilty of it, and I think probably more than anything because of the fact that it is it's been done to other programs, whether it be about money, whether it be about, you know, taking, you know, fake classes or whatever the case. But in the same token, I'm going to be honest, I'm not sure how much of a difference that's going to make because everybody's going to know who won the national championship. And so then at that point, it'll be kind of devalued. It's the same thing as what good is it taking away from the Fab Five, Final Fours, you know, banners and stuff like that. What good is that going to do? We all know they win. What good is it going to do the running back from USC, Reggie Bush, taking away his – we all know what he did, you know. So should it be taken from record books? Fine, you know. But at the end of the day, it's about playing basketball and it's about winning basketball games. If we were talking about, you know, North Carolina's these group of guys being up for an academic championship or something like that, then I think we would have – it would be a little bit more method to the madness. But to be honest with you, this is about winning basketball games, and that's something that North Carolina has been able to do regardless of the class they're taking. I'm not sure how that even kind of plays benefit to a North Carolina, if you will, in regards to winning this national championship or even if it has anything to do with it. But should it be taken down? I guess, you know, but at the end of the day, it's more about are you going to be able to win games or not win games? And I think that that's something that they're going to do tonight, and the rest is kind of going to be left up to the NCAA from there.
And I find it quite interesting because I've been really paying close attention to the CBS broadcast anytime North Carolina is playing. And I tell you what, Jim Nance, Bill Rafferty, and Grant Hill, they have not even really addressed it, if that. And I look at it from this perspective. You know, this is a 10-year stretch in which this investigation is taking place. Obviously, right now, the players on the roster are no longer in those classes. They're taking other classes. And I look at, you know, I was watching something this morning that detailed North Carolina's past national championship wins. And I believe the last team that Roy led to a national championship, a lot of those players were what? African-American study majors. So I found that to be quite interesting.
Very interesting.
Yeah. So so for me, I look at the time span here. Obviously, this year, the majority of the players, all of the players aren't taking those classes anymore. So I wouldn't probably take away this year's national championship if they were to win tonight. But you have to look at that entire time span and really look at it in detail if they are found guilty. All right, let's get to the X's and O's now, Deshaun. Which team has the advantage tonight? Both teams have 4 out of the 5 starting players that can score. Each bench contributes 8 to 10 points. Who has the leverage tonight?
I think it's really quite even just because of the fact that a lot of times you have Carolina beat themselves more than the other team beats them. And so if it wasn't for that factor, I think that that the edge would definitely go for North Carolina as far as in the front court. I know Kennedy Meeks had an awesome game, but when you're looking at a guy like Shimon Karnowski, who I don't think is more of the basketball talent, just a big man playing basketball, but the big basketball talent is a former McDonald's All-American in Zach Collins, who I think is absolutely phenomenal. And so I give them the edge in the front court, but of course in the back court, I know Nigel Williams-Goss is has a chip on his shoulder and not being named in the final list of the Player of the Year, as well as the first-team All-American. He ended up getting second-team, so he's playing a little bit with a chip on his shoulder, as I'm sure the rest of Spokane, Washington, and their community is as well. Mm-hmm. But the guard play I have to give to North Carolina. I think they're a little bit more balanced, more sound, more fundamentally skilled, and more basic. And the coaching edge has to go to Roy Williams as well, obviously, because he's been here before. He knows what it takes. He's got national championships under his belt already. He's been to multiple appearances. I mean, you name it. But he's also vulnerable to out-coaching his own stuff and making bad decisions, ending games, for example, with two or three, you know, multiple timeouts. But they're going to need some assistance from Isaiah Hicks, who went 1-for-12. Mm-hmm. Kind of reminds me of a James Michael McAdoo. 1-for-12 from the field last game, 2 points, 3 rebounds. That's not going to cut it when you're talking about playing up front for North Carolina up against some true studs from Gonzaga. So I think ultimately North Carolina has the edge here, but it's not nearly by as much as everybody would like to think.
And I tell you what, some good advice you can give to the Tar Heels, Deshaun. Got to hit your free throws, right, in clutch situations. They dodged a close one against Oregon.
Good point. Good point. They certainly did.
All right. Well, Deshaun, before I get you out of here, I saw that Frank Mason III was named as the Naismith National Player of the Year. You agree with that pick?
Okay. Yeah. No, I'm good with that. I think that he was I don't think he was the best player in college basketball, mm-hmm. but I think he was the most valuable. Some of the stuff that we saw him do at the tail end of the season or throughout the whole season, I'm sorry. You got to remember, when he first came in as a freshman sophomore, I don't think anybody would have said this guy's a National Player of the Year guy. Even the same thing as a junior and returning to a senior, to talk about him being National Player of the Year, hands down, over studs like Josh Jackson, Justin Jackson, and Lonzo Ball, and Nigel Williams-Goss, and all these other guys, Malik Monk. I think that speaks volume for a guy who, before coming in to into Lawrence, Kansas, his best option as far as recruiting was Towson. So I think you got to give the guys a little bit of credit for everything he's been able to do. 13 consecutive regular season victories. If it wasn't for him, there would not be number 13. I got to tip my cap and give the award to Frank Mason.
Deshaun Tate, he knows his stuff, folks. College basketball reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio. He is currently in Arizona, of course, covering the national championship tonight. Deshaun, enjoy your time tonight, man. Hoping for a good game.
Thank you so much, man. I'm going to try and stay hydrated, too, man. I'll catch up with you sometime next week.
That's a good problem to have. All right, Deshaun, take care, man.
Later.
Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will put a bow on today's current sports by hitting you with weekend winners. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have just 5 minutes left here in the show. We just wrapped up a chat with Deshaun Tate, college hoop reporter, host, and producer for CBS Radio. Isaac, who are you picking tonight?
I gotta go with Gonzaga. I'm for UNC. That's
really
my personal opinion. But yeah, I'm going Gonzaga. I like the size down low. I think nobody's been able to compete between Karnowski and Collins. I think those two guys, you've got one in the starting lineup, one coming off the bench. I love Kennedy Meeks down low for UNC, but he's 6'9". And flat out, 6'9 against Gonzaga is puny. I mean, it's amazing. Gonzaga's just got so much height for a college basketball team. It reminds me of Kentucky a few years ago, whether they had Boogie Cousins, AD, Carl Anthony Towns, no matter who it was, and then match him with Willie Cauley-Stein. Kentucky always had this size, and that's why Kentucky was so successful. I think this Gonzaga team, despite being a mid-major, I think they really have the edge in this, and I never thought I would say it. I was saying to you this weekend, WAC, you don't want to be from a conference that's called the WAC, a WAC conference, really. But, I mean, it ended up working out for them because they've got the size, the experience, and, of course, Williams-Goss, he knows how to command his entire team from the court, get inside, finish, hit a tough shot. I like Gonzaga, and I can't believe I'm saying it.
Yeah, I'm going with North Carolina. I just think that, and you can make an argument that Gonzaga is probably the most complete team in college basketball and has been this year. But when you look at UNC, I think the experience is going to win out here. The only reason I say this is because I think it's going to be a really tight game. Under 2 minutes, Gonzaga's never been there before. I think under 2 minutes on that stage, national championship, North Carolina has the most experience, and I think that's going to play out in their favor. But, hey, we never know. I'm hoping for a good game. Maybe another buzzer beater like we saw against North Carolina and Villanova last year. In North Carolina, they're going to be extra motivated due to what happened last year as well. All right, let's hit our weekend winner segment where we take a look at the weekend that was in the sporting world and deliver to you who had the best weekend.
This is what's great about sports. This is what the greatest thing about sports is. You play to win the game. Hello? You play to win the game. You don't play to just play it. That's the great thing about sports. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. And nothing's gonna ever keep you down. You're the best around. Nothing's gonna ever keep you down.
All right, I've got two weekend winners. Isaac, I'm going with Dawn Staley. I highlighted her at the very beginning of the show. Head coach of the South Carolina women's basketball team. Had an unbelievable playing career. And now, in her coaching career, she can add a national title to her name. Actually, the first national title in men's or women's basketball for that school. Pretty impressive stuff. And also a big salute to one of my favorite wrestlers of all time. At WrestleMania 33 last night, I had a fraternity brother, actually, who was there to witness it. But at WrestleMania 33, The Undertaker said goodbye to the fans. I grew up loving The Undertaker. I used to love Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Rock, The Undertaker, Kane, Steve Jericho, Triple X. I mean, I could go on and on and on, dude. Triple H. I said Triple X like the movie. Triple H, all those guys, The Undertaker. I almost shed a tear last night, man. Farewell, Undertaker. We'll miss you.
I can't take fake wrestling. I'm sorry. It is fake. Newsflash, everybody. I've got friends there,
we
too.
Know that. But when I was coming up, wrestling was the bomb, dude. Oh, my goodness.
I saw a bunch on Snapchat last night because I've got a friend there. John Cena got engaged, too.
He did.
Staged as well. Come on. I mean, I just can't stand that.
That was beautiful. Was beautiful, man. Okay. Embrace
love. Whatever. My weekend winner, though, I'll still go with the SEC. South Carolina, in particular, win the Women's Basketball Championship. Final Four, amazing for the men's. Plus, Morgan Williams hitting the shot of a lifetime. Good for her, even if they lost.
Yeah, Morgan, itty-bitty. She's definitely a weekend winner. All right, folks, same time, same place tomorrow. Take care. And as always, be easy, people.